All right, guys, we are live. And again, I like to say this in air quotes, live, because we're really premiering these episodes. But I'm really excited about today's episode. We have in the house Matt Powell. So he actually lives here in Michigan. And we just happened to just move to the same area. I didn't talk to him. I knew he was going to the Grand Rapids area. And that's where my family's from. So, but, you know, the Grand Rapids area is pretty big. And we ended up moving within 30 minutes of each other. So that's exciting. Hopefully we can get him in the studio more often. I want to do a bunch of these shows. And as you saw on the graphic, you know, this is Answers in Creation. This is our first episode here at the Framing the World Studios. I'm excited to talk with him today about debunking evolution. We're going to be talking about different ways you can debunk evolution. There's so many different ways you can debunk evolution, and that's why I'm excited to talk to him. He is the one that made the film Science Falsely So-Called. And so, did God create the world, or did the world create itself? It's a fantastic documentary. I hope you guys check it out. You can get a copy at Framing the World. But yeah, we're going to be talking with Matt today about debunking evolution. Matt, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Paul. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, when you said, you know, your location and where, what church you're going to, I was excited because I Googled the church and it was 8 minutes from my house. So that totally is awesome. So
incredible.
You should, hopefully we can do this more often when you're in the area or stuff like that. But Matt, you know, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and tell us like why can evolution be so easily debunked?
Sure thing. Well, thanks again, Paul, for having me on. And just a real brief introduction to who I am. My name is Matt Powell. I run a YouTube channel just called Matt Powell Official, and I pretty much dedicate my time to unindoctrinating those who have been indoctrinated by the theory of evolution and atheism. And with atheism being the fastest growing religion in the world, it's something that I take very seriously, as I have a lot of atheist family members, and then not in my immediate family, but outside of my immediate family, there's some atheist family members, and I've seen what this religion has done to them. And, you know, I heard a creation scientist say one time that evolution is a religion of death. And that phrase has never rung more true than in 2020. And so I'm in college, and I'm a senior in college this year studying computer information systems. And so I love studying. I love the Bible. I love God's word. And I love reason and logic and so forth. And one of the things that is really easy to debunk is the theory of evolution. And what's interesting about it is the theory of evolution is actually the only theory protected by law. So whenever an atheist says, well, I'm a free thinker, I'm able to think for myself, and they go out on the street and they hold up a sign that says free thinker on it, basically what they're not realizing is that their theory is a theory that they're not allowed to think outside of. Because evolution, like I said, is protected by law. And so since it's protected by law, they're not allowed to free think outside of it. So that just shows that evolution, right at the foundation, is not based on free thought. It's based on confined thought. It's confined down to what's protected by law in their system. And so since my tax dollars pay for it, and your tax dollars and everybody that's listening to this show has to go to that nonsense, we should have a say in it. And so one of the easiest ways to debunk evolution is just to look at the founders of it, for starters. So obviously, you know, people like Charles Darwin, you know, he said, and I quote, because a lot of people don't know this about Charles Darwin in his book, Life and Letters, written in the late 1800s. He said, and I quote, he said, "Often a cold shudder has run through me, and I have asked myself whether I have devoted my life to a fantasy." So Charles Darwin was literally scared to death that he devoted his life to a fantasy. And so when people like Bill Nye and all the mainstream atheists out there come along and try to tell you how smart Charles Darwin was and how great of a man he was, show them that quote. Show them that they're trusting a man, they're trusting a theory that was invented by a man who was afraid that his theory was a fantasy. So that's not a very good foundation. You know, a good foundation would be something like what Jesus said when he spoke in absolutes and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus spoke in absolutes. Charles Darwin spoke in, well, it could be a fantasy. I'm worried my life's a fantasy. He daily asked himself that. So can you really trust somebody who was afraid that they were living in fantasy land? You see, well, how can you demonstrate that these people are living in a fantasy? Well, not only did Charles Darwin admit that he was possibly living in a fantasy, Ernst Haeckel, the man who went off of what Darwin said and basically was the co-founder of evolution, he said, and I quote, he said, spontaneous generation or life coming from non-life must be true, not because it had been proven in the laboratory, but because otherwise it would be necessary to believe in a creator. So Ernst Haeckel admitted that if spontaneous generation did not happen, then he would have to believe in the Lord. Obviously, spontaneous generation was disproved decades ago. And so is he going to believe? If Ernst Haeckel was alive today, he would say, well, I have no choice but to believe in the Lord because, you know, if spontaneous generation didn't happen, then there would have to be a creator. Spontaneous generation was disproved entirely by the scientific community. Yet people like Ernst Haeckel are still out there. And in fact, Ernst Haeckel, the co-founder of evolution, was convicted of fraud. He was proven to be a fraud, and yet his embryos, his fake embryos, are still put in textbooks today. Now, I understand he was only convicted of fraud only 130 years ago, but I don't think it should take textbooks that long to get updated. And so they still have his fraudulent embryos and those frauds that he designed in there, those fakes. And so, you know, just looking at the founders of evolution, just as a start, goes to show that they didn't know anything about science. They didn't have, they didn't understand what was under the microscope. And now that we can see in genetics, we can see that creationism is completely scientific and evolution is falsified by the simple fact that when we look at a genome, what do we see? Well, obviously we see that in each generation, you lose information. So for example, my son has 1% to 2% less genetic information than I do. And when he has a son, if he does, his son will have 1% to 2% less genetic information than he does. So what that means is genes are actually degrading over time. We are losing information. We're not gaining information. Information is getting lost. And so evolutionists will often say, well, give me more time and anything will happen. The silly thing about that is the more time that you have, the more the universe decays and the more that things become worse in our bodies and in the world around us. So if the Earth was billions of years old, the Earth would have just simply decayed, the planets would have decayed, everything would be out of orbit, because as of right now, things are in a perfect orbit, but they're heading towards a imperfect orbit and an orbit that could destroy life. So the Earth could not have possibly been around for billions of years. And you know, just that's just on the genetic level. You know, we're losing information. And so let's just enter into fantasy land and, you know, just play pretend with the atheists for a minute. They'll say that life started from a single-celled organism. Now, we know that a single-celled organism, if it magically evolved somehow and came into existence on its own without a designer, then if it would have reproduced, then again, it would have made worse versions of itself. It wouldn't have added new traits or characteristics. Natural selection only selects the genes that already exist. It doesn't create new information. It simply selects. And so that first single-celled organism would have reproduced worse versions of itself, and it would have simply died out. And a lot of evolutionists will say, well, no, you can have new information by a male and female coming together and having a child. The mom's genes and the dad's genes make a child, which is new genes, they say. But the problem with that is, that's like saying, well, let me take a can of jelly and a can of peanut butter and mix them together and I've got a new ingredient. That's not how it works. You're taking information from a father and information from a mother that's already previously existing and putting it together to make a baby. And that doesn't make new information. It simply selects the existing information from the father and the mother. So if we go back far enough in time, there would have had to have been a perfect male and a perfect female to account for all the diversity that we see today. That is creationism demonstrated in the most simple way possible. And so whenever an evolutionist tries to tell me that evolution is a scientific fact or that I use information control, this cracks me up so much. Evolutionists consistently accuse me of controlling information from my audience and not giving the other side and not letting these other atheists speak out. Well, what I think is so hypocritical about that is I'm willing to go on platforms with each and every one of them, even Aaron Ra, Larry Nelson, any one of the big names out there, I'd be happy to tell them the facts, and they can come forth with their opinions, but the facts will still be the facts, and there are scientific facts that we know are true, regardless of what any of their opinions are. And so, since they accuse me of trying to use information control, I think one of the best ways to jump into this show would be to actually play clips of them attacking me or attacking other preachers in our movement and just demonstrate that they have nothing and show how their claims that they try to come back at you with don't hold any water. And so, Paul, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and switch over to the laptop screen so people can see what's going on.
Yeah. You know what? We're not seeing it. I don't know if I totally screwed this up. I just look back and I'm not seeing that laptop screen. Why don't we go back to that? Why don't you talk about what got you into this? To begin with, Matt, like what makes you so passionate about these subjects? Because I know this is kind of like your main bread and butter. You love to talk about these issues. What makes you so passionate about these subjects? Talk about that, and I'm going to get this figured out.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul. So I would say the thing that got me into it was just seeing students go into college. And in their first year, a lot of Christian students would come out just within the first semester and just come out and make wild claims like there is no God and that, you know, creationism must be false and evolution must be true. And they just make a lot of blanket statements that they've heard from university professors, which goes to show that they don't really think on their own two feet. They're not really taught how to think. They're taught what to think. And so when you try to tell them how to think, they get upset because they've been told what to think about how to think. And so their worldview just, I've seen just collapses in on itself. And so I noticed that, and I noticed, you know, some of my, peers in college just, you know, coming up with silly ideas. And so that's what motivated me to speak out on this topic is because, you know, I myself am a college student, you know, and it honestly bothers me just to see college students deceived. And so that's why I've gotten into this. That's why I decided to debate people like the Raging Atheist or Mark Drysdale, is because these the Raging Atheist, for example, came out against me and just put out multiple videos saying, you know, debate me, please debate me. And so I finally took him up on it, and that's basically how I got started with the creation versus evolution gig. And then you know, I just had other people saying that they were blessed by the material. They were blessed by science falsely so-called. And they were blessed by other videos that I had put out on the matter that would clear up the confusion that's out there. And so that kind of motivated me to keep doing this. And especially when some of them would get saved. You know, that would be, you know, a big motivator as well. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, there's so many ways in which you can get them to doubt their faith in evolution. You ask them really basic questions, I find. If you talk to somebody that's been indoctrinated and you just simply ask them, do you think that an explosion out of chaos produced order? They are going to sit there dumbfounded because they know that the second law of thermodynamics states that everything in order tends towards disorder. And so they have no foundation. And when you ask the right questions, that's when things become incredibly clear that we have the truth as Christians, and all they're left with is an unsupported assertion and a lie.
Awesome, man. Well, we got all set up, and I'm sorry about that. Why don't you go and cue up that clip one more time?
Sounds good. All right, we'll just jump right into this. So For those of you out there who accuse me of using information control and not letting the other side speak, we're going to let the other side speak tonight, and we're going to see how it lines up with logic and facts and reason.
So today it's going to be another first for the response list. Today we're going to be responding to a 22-year-old pastor named Matt Powell. There is no logic at all into believing that one day God just decided to poof us into existence.
Well, number one, I'm not a pastor. You know, if you would have done the basic research, you would have seen that I've always claimed just to be a college student. And then number two, you say there's no logic at all into believing that one day God just magically poofed us into existence. You're describing what the Big Bang teaches. It was literally a poof. So when you say there's no logic at all into believing that one day we were just poofed into existence, that's what the Big Bang teaches. The Big Bang literally teaches that all the matter in the universe was condensed down to a size smaller than a proton, and then in a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, it went from that tiny point to something billions of miles across.
Yeah, so. That's so crazy. And I love how Dr. Kent Hovind puts it, it's smaller than a period on a page. Because some people don't even think, like, what is a proton? But, like, what's the size of a proton? I mean, it's way smaller than probably a period on a page.
Yeah, it's hundreds of times smaller.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so to say, like, you know, this thing poofed into existence.
And created
but you think
everything.
And created everything. But yet you think it's crazy to believe that God could have poofed, I'll use your words, the universe into existence. I would say that that's the fallacy of false equivalence. That's an equivocation where they try to project their own problems onto creationists. They fling their own poo, like this guy just did, onto me. And I don't want it. You know, they can keep it. They can keep their fantasy land. You know, I'll make up a purpose for myself. It's so funny. You ask an atheist like this guy, what is the meaning of life? And so since they don't think there's any actual objective meaning to life, they'll say, well, my meaning of my life is whatever I make up. What they're admitting is that they're making up or make-believing a purpose for life. So, you know, it's pretending. They're pretending that there's a purpose when they know that there actually is no purpose. That's dishonest. And I've always said that evolution is impossible to defend honestly. So, you know, to finish this guy off, you know, he says, it's just crazy to believe that God poofed this world into existence. Well, number one, you believe it was a poof and that no one caused it. Number two, and then number three, what's magical? Somebody creating the universe or matter and energy creating itself from nothing? This man believes in magic. You know, they often accuse Christians of believing in magic, but their worldview is magical by definition. You know, the Bible says the Lord hates sorcery. So the Lord's not into magic. God can do whatever he wants. He's outside of the laws of nature. So to try to confine God down into your 3-pound human brain is illogical and unscientific. So let's go ahead and move on to the next atheist.
So, according to you, we have to defy science to believe in evolution. Okay, well then please explain to me why the majority of scientists, 97% of them to be exact, all believe in evolution.
This guy's funny, man.
He is kind of funny. So, okay, so I find it amazing whenever somebody says, well, the majority accepts something, so therefore it must be true. You know, the majority of the people back in the days of old thought that the earth was flat. Does that mean it was true? Just because the majority of scientists believe in evolution or claim to believe in it so that they can make money, otherwise they won't get funded, doesn't mean that it's necessarily a true theory. And then just the fact that you're saying, you know, well, why, you know, if evolution's not true, then why do 97% of people believe in it? If you actually had evidence for evolution, instead of saying 97% of these people over here believe in it, look at what they say, you would actually give me evidence. You would say, okay, actually, here's the evidence for evolution. But instead, you've admitted somebody else has done the thinking for me. I may not have any evidence for it, but all I know is that these 97% of people already over here have done the research, so I'm going to trust them. I don't have any evidence. That's what he's admitting. And so I guess we'll continue on.
Funny, you said earlier they can't think for themselves. Buddy, you are 22 years old. Buddy, if there's anyone that doesn't think for themselves, I would say that it's freaking you. I'm Egghead. Thanks for watching, and good lord.
That's hilarious. Wow. It cracks me up. He mentions the fact that I said that these people aren't allowed to think for themselves. They're not allowed to. They can't think for themselves. Evolution, like I said earlier, is the only theory protected by law itself. So you're not allowed to be a free thinker. You're not allowed to free think outside of your box of evolutionary theory. Free thought always gives both sides. As a Christian, I can compare the word of God to evolution. I don't have to use information control. I can simply lay out the facts about creation, and I can show all the fantasies that evolution teaches. And I can let you freely choose between the two. I can do that. But in evolutionary theory, you're not allowed. You're not even allowed to consider the other side. Otherwise, your grant money will be gone. And so when I said that you can't think for yourself, what I mean is you're not allowed to think outside of that box. You're not allowed to be a free thinker. So I hope that this is eye-opening for you, Mr. Egghead, as well as your other atheist YouTubing buddies. Paul, do you got anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, it is funny how they mock you, but they're both religions. Whether you believe in evolution or creation, it's both a religion. So, you know, it makes way more sense to me that God created everything as opposed to it just happened by chance, you know, from this small proton that just kind of created everything that we see. Stuff that's so hard to even comprehend, just how our bodies work and you know, eyes and just all these complicated things that just happen by chance. Yeah, right. It makes no sense. Evolution makes absolutely no sense. If you want to believe in a different God, that makes way more sense than just believing in just that it all created itself, in my opinion.
Magically and from nothing, I might add.
Yeah.
Magically. They think that the universe magically popped into existence uncaused. What if I said nothing caused something over here in this room to explode?
Yeah.
What if I said nothing caused it? That wouldn't make any sense. There's a law known as the law of cause and effect that the atheists obviously don't believe because they don't believe in the laws of science. The law of cause and effect states that everything that comes into being has a cause. For everything that comes into existence has a cause. To say that the universe was uncaused but came into existence is a denial of the law of cause and effect. So they don't believe in any of it, but I'm with you 100%, brother.
Yeah, and you know, when I was young, I grew up in a Christian home. And I think what made the biggest impact on my life was this the creation evolution debate. Dr. Kent Hovind came to our church and spoke when I was young, real young, like, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And, you know, what he was saying just blew me away. It was like a 3-day conference that we had. And every day was just going after a new, you know, when he was doing that seminar series. And it just blew me away on so many different proofs. And that's why I really appreciate Kent Hovind. And I have a lot of respect for him to this day. Because, you know, those talks really, you know, I always believed in God. But it really just made me firm on the issues. And it really changed my life knowing this kind of information. And so that's why I really appreciate you, Matt, coming on the show and talking to people, because there's some people that may be listening to my channel that are more conspiracy oriented and they don't really know all these issues. You know, if you want to know, you know, if you want to dig deep, these are the kind of things that are important. And so I appreciate you coming on. And I just want to quickly just thank all of our sponsors for the show. We had a bunch of people, like 10 different people that donated to the show to make this show possible, and I just wanted to quickly mention them and thank them for their support. Preston Taylor, I appreciate you. Justin Schwartz, Orange Blood, is always in the chat. I really appreciate him. He's a great guy. And I thank him for his support on the show. Ethan Schmidt, Walter Rodriguez, Kay Kuntz, Julio Files, Julio Guerrero, and I'm sorry if I butcher your name, I'm horrible at names here, Samuel Elliott, Christian Cumbie, in memory of Timothy Cafoon. Do you know how to pronounce his name right?
It's Cafoon, yeah.
Is it right?
Okay. He's a great guy.
Yeah, and I can't even say this website. But this website is EFFICACIOUSSServices.com. And in fact, I'm going to pull that up in a little bit and show it to you by the end of the stream. I hope you check out that website. Again, it's EFFICACIOUSServices.com. Again, guys, thank you so much for everyone who's donated to the show and made this possible. Obviously, these things cost a lot of money to do. I'm actually in the basement of the studio, and I have Matt all the way in the upstairs. So we have, like, a lot of cables running around this house here. And but, you know, we're trying to do different things. We're going to perfect it. There's a little things that are bothering me that I've done wrong, but we're going to get this figured out by the next show. But Matt, you know, what are some of your thoughts on other ways? Like if someone says you, like, they believe in evolution, and what is your, like, go-to thing to kind of just make them think about the opposite side?
Sure thing. Well, first I ask them if they believe in mathematics, and they'll say absolutely. Ask them if they believe in science, they'll say yes. And so if they believe in those two things, then they have to believe in, you know, certain probabilities. And, you know, the probability of a functional protein coming into existence by chance, it's not even alive, it's just a protein, is 10 to the 168th power, or 10 to the 164th power. And so there's 10 to the 28th inches in our world here. And so that just kind of gives you a glimpse of how crazy the odds are just for a functional protein to come into existence by chance. 10 to the 164th power. You know, Stephen Hawking said, and I quote, and this is something I share with them, that if the expansion rate would have changed 1 second, just 1 second after the Big Bang by one part in 100,000 million million chances, the universe would not exist. So I always ask them, is it rational and logical to believe that one out of 100,000 million million chances could happen simultaneously with 10 to the 164th power trillions of times over to account for the trillions of proteins in our universe? And typically they'll say no. They'll say, well, that's crazy. Somebody must have designed these odds. But sometimes they'll say, well, there's still a chance. There's still a chance that this could happen. And I always quote Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking said, and I quote, he said, we are a mathematical impossibility. That means that it's not possible for natural causes to have brought about themselves. If you Google the definition of impossible, it is literally a miracle. So atheists believe in miracles. Why? Because the world came out of an impossibility. So either way, it's not going to go their way. Either way they try to play this game, it will never go their way. And so, you know, one of the things that I always like to do is use the Bible. I always just show them what the Bible says, and I show them, because a lot of times they'll say, you know, the Bible's unscientific, and I'll ask them to show me where. And then they'll come back and then they'll say, well, you know, it was just, the reason it's unscientific is because it was written by goat herders. Well, number one, why are you saying that all goat herders are bad? And then number two, Paul was not a goat herder. He was a scholar. So it just shows their lack of research. And he wrote over half the New Testament, by the way. So whenever they say, your Bible was written by goat herders, no, it wasn't. The New Testament, over half of it was written by a scholar. And so, and then number three, when they say that, all they're doing, when they say Bronze Age book, you know, it's from the Golden Age and superstitious people from way back when. All they're doing is admitting that the Bible is historical at that point. When they say it's an old book, absolutely, because God didn't want to leave us without his word for thousands of years. And so whenever they come at us with these blanket statements that we've all heard a million times, I've heard them a million times in debates. you know, I was debating the raging atheist, and he says, well, I don't know how you can believe that there was this Jewish man that died and resurrected from the dead. And I said, would you look at what you believe, Ronnie? You believe that every living life form came to life out of non-existence and resurrected itself from dead material to begin with. You and I, every other life form on the planet, came from the resurrection of non-living material. That's a greater resurrection than I believe in. As a Christian, I believe Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it again into myself. But Jesus had that power. But to say that every living organism out there came to life through spontaneous generation, that's pretty crazy. That's a miracle. That's beyond a miracle. And so, you know, of course, they make the blanket statements about saying, like, how could a virgin conceive? How could you believe that you know, Mary would conceive as a virgin? Look, these people think a rock conceived. So no matter how they play this game, it's not going to go their way. They can pretend to believe in science. They can make believe a purpose for life. They can pretend all these things. But at the end of the day, all they're left with is an unsupported assertion and lies to back them up.
Awesome. Well, I also wanted to talk to you about this movie, Science Falsely So-Called. What made you want to make this movie? What kind of prompted this movie? And can you talk about the new movie that you're in the works right now making?
Sure thing. Well, what prompted me to make it was quite a few things. But one of the things I noticed was that there was this atheist who was continually challenging me on the internet. He put out probably about 10 videos. And he said he wanted to do a debate with me. And at that point, I had done a couple discussions with atheists, and I didn't really enjoy it. But I figured, you know, I'm coming out with this movie. I'd be happy to meet up with him in person to film and see if it would be movie material. And so I met up with the guy and filmed a debate with him. And we actually, that was my first ever debate with an atheist. That was moderated by the guys. And it went very well. And I decided, you know what, I've got enough footage here to put together a documentary with. I'm going to interview Dr. Kent Hovind, Pastor Steven Anderson, and I'm going to interview some larger names and bring them onto this. And we're going to expose the entire atheist community. And that's what that film was about. And I highly recommend it to anybody that's struggling with their faith in God. It demonstrates nothing but facts. And even though the atheist community will put out videos against me saying that, you know, I'm a liar, they accuse me of being a liar. And I always ask them, well, just show me one lie. Just show me one. They can't do it because it's not there. And in fact, the opposite is true. My goal is to bring forth understanding and not confusion. And so lies are completely against what my goal is. And all I do is quote the sources word for word. So if they're disagreeing with me, they have to disagree with their own scientists, because I'm simply quoting the scientists word for word. And Stephen Hawking said, and I quote, word for word, because there are laws such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Real scientific, right? So they have nothing, and that's what I wanted to bring forth in that documentary, and that's what was demonstrated in that documentary.
Awesome. Well, what about the new documentary that's coming out? I know you had some problems with the footage. Did you ever try to recover those hard drives?
I did, but the Recovery Corporation, they weren't able to recover it for whatever reason. So I'm actually going to be shipping it off to a friend to see if he can do it. But because he said he had some experience in that.
Did you take it to the data doctors?
I did. Yeah.
They couldn't do it?
Yeah, they couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You must have had a tough case. So I can relate to this, Matt. Okay.
I know you can.
I had three hard drives, 3 10-terabyte hard drives quit on me for Babylon USA. And so I had, first, I had my backup just die on me. And then while I was trying to create another backup, during that process, the original quit on me. And then I had to bring it in. It cost I forget how much money, but it was so much money for 10 terabytes to get recovered. And they were able to recover like 90%. I did lose a few things, but nothing with the interviews. It was all like footage I shot of scenery and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm shocked they couldn't recover. I wonder why that was. If it, maybe your file systems that you use. Maybe it's the, I don't know, because I was .movs. What were your file types?
Mine were all .movs too.
Oh, man.
I think it was with the hardware itself. So, like, for whatever reason, the disks ended up getting scratched somehow, and so they couldn't read the information.
Well, do you know, and I'm really interested in this. I know probably not too many other people are interested. What kind of hard drives were you using?
I was just using, I wasn't using solid state ones.
Well, what and were you using?
Like just the standard Seagate drives.
Oh, Seagate, okay.
Yeah, it apparently didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I have had really good luck, and this is an infomercial for hard drives. I wish I could show you guys, but I have like a whole stack of hard drives right there. I have like, I don't know, 40 of them, 10 terabyters. And I use all the same kind, the G drives. I'm a big supporter of the G drives. Now, I say that, but the new G drives are not good. So they failed. Two of them failed on me. Luckily, they were both backups. Yeah, man, I have gotten so – I have to back things up because hard drives are such crappy technology that they just – that's what happens. They die on you and – To recover the footage is so much more than just buying a hard drive. I feel for you, man. I understand exactly how that is. When we were making the Book of Revelation, I had one of my hard drives totally kaputs on me, and I tried to recover it myself. I didn't know as much back then. I wish I would have taken it into a company to recover it. We probably could have recovered it. But unfortunately I just tried to recover it myself. And when you try to recover yourself, sometimes you actually screw up the possibility of recovering it later.
Yeah, I think that's what happened in my case.
Oh, did you try?
I did try.
Yeah. So yeah, you just got to take it straight in because if you do anything to it, it kind of screws it up anyways. But so we had to actually reshoot like half of the Revelation series because of my screw up. Well, it's the hard drives.
Incredible.
I mean, it's no one's fault, really. It was my fault. I should have backed it up. That's when I didn't back things up. And so to everyone listening out here, this is a PSA. Back up your footage.
Yes.
Yes.
Everything.
And, yeah, you have to back up everything. And it's so expensive, but you just have to do it. Unless it's stuff you don't care about losing, then it's like, all right, take a shot. But again, guys, I really appreciate everyone's support. If you want to support this show, you can do that by donating to this show, or you can subscribe to our Patreon account. If you go to Patreon.com/framingtheworld, you can subscribe through there, support the show. Again, guys, I want to do a quick shout out to, why can't I pronounce this word? Matt, look at this word. Efficacious?
Efficacious, I think.
Let's say it.
Efficacious services.
Okay, efficacious services. So I appreciate that. I have no idea what this website is, but that's it right there. So they have supported the show, and I appreciate them. Also, in memory of Timothy Cafun, Christian Cumby, Samuel Elliott, Julio Guerrero, Julio Files, Kay Kuntz, Walter Rodriguez, Ethan Schmidt, Justin Schwartz, Orange Blood, and Preston Taylor. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. I mean, is there anything else we want to talk about, or should we just keep this one short here today?
Well, I do have some other clips of these guys that
have
responded.
Oh, you do? You haven't even finished.
We've got plenty, man.
Dude, let's keep going. Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Sounds good.
But it takes longer than that, Ken. That's okay. The problem. You won't allow us the time. You always tell us that the time is the religion. It's not enough time, Kent. We need more time.
We need more time.
Isn't that funny? It kind of sounds like those movies where it's like, give me more time. Like he's been, I think he's been watching too many movies because I've never heard them say it like that. Yeah. You know, usually they'll say, you know, just we need time for evolution to happen. But he's just begging Dr. Hovind there for more time. So let's pretend that we should give him more. Let's give him more time. Obviously, the Earth is decaying. You know, the Earth is slowing down in its rotation. The moon's getting further away from Earth. You know, the sun is burning. And so things are deteriorating in our universe right now. So the more time that you have, if we had 1 million years, not only would the planets be out of orbit, but the Earth would be rotating too slow. The moon would be too far away. If we wound things backwards in time, the moon would be too close to the Earth at several 1 million years. And it would, you know, the moon causes our tides. So everything would have been flushed out, all the animals living. So the question would be, well, can you swim? You know, and so there's so many fallacies that go along with crying out for more time. So the more time you have, the more energy decays and breaks down, just like human genomes. Like I said, our genome is deteriorating from generation to generation. We're getting worse. And so the more time you have, the more the things around us deteriorate and in us. So time will never work in favor for an evolutionist. Time will only support special creation. As we all know that things do not get better in the universe, they only get worse. So,
wow.
Did you have anything you wanted to add on this guy?
Oh man, just keep going. Next one.
All right, we're taking on the whole internet atheist community tonight,
oh, no.
Folks.
That's his job, to prove to you that every single one of these lines is more than 99.99%. So let's take a look, shall we? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oops. The Earth didn't come till almost 10 billion years later. You got proof otherwise, bro? You got empirical evidence that the Earth was created 14 billion years ago when the sun was created or the universe was created? You got empirical proof? No, he does not. He's got argument by assertion. That's what he's got.
Wow. Wow. So the reason that this atheist, he's in a debate with Jeff Durbin and James White, and he goes, you know, the reason that the Bible is wrong is because it says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he's like, but we have a problem because the earth didn't come into being till 10 million years after the creation. Well, that's because he believes in evolution. And an easy way to debunk that, which, you know, if this guy took a first grade science course, he would understand of legitimate science, that the Earth's magnetic field is actually decaying right now. So a little bit about the Earth's magnetic field. Without it, everything will die on Earth from the deadly radiation coming in from the sun. Now, if the magnetic field is too powerful, it will kill everything on Earth because it will be too strong. So, you know, we can't live without it. We can't really live with it unless it's at a perfect balance of energy. And so the Earth's magnetic field right now has a half-life of 1400 years, which means every 1400 years the Earth's magnetic field gets split in half and it's deteriorating. So like I said, if the Earth's magnetic field deteriorates, we will die from the deadly radiation coming in from the sun. With the half-life being 1400 years, the Earth's magnetic field from where we're at right now in time will be gone actually in about 2000 years. Just 10,000 years ago, it would have been too strong. It would have killed everything on Earth. So when this guy goes, well, my proof that your Bible's incorrect is because the Earth didn't come into being till millions of years after the creation, he doesn't even know basic science. If he knew basic science, he would know about the Earth's magnetic field and the fact that the Earth cannot be any older than 10,000 years old. Otherwise, he would have been fried, and all the organisms on Earth before 10,000 years ago would have fried from the magnetic field being too powerful. And so that just goes to show we live in a very narrow span of time. And so this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And that sums up just about every evolutionist. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, Paul, but that guy was angry.
Yeah.
How can you be angry at something that you don't think exists? It's just not possible. The Bible says, for when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And so, you know, people aren't going to throw temper tantrums against something that they don't think exists. They're going to fight against the God that they know exists, but repress the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just don't even, I can't even understand how you couldn't believe that a God exists. I mean, everything's so perfect. It's just, it's hard for me to even fathom that people actually believe there is no God. And that's why, you know, the Bible, when it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, they really are fools. Or they're just deceivers.
Well, their claim is, and I'm with you on that, their claim is that the reason the world could come into being by chance is because if you give it enough time, anything will happen. Well, we already debunked that 5 minutes ago, but let's just enter into fantasy land with these guys where they belong at and where their mind is at and pretend that this is true. So I have here with me an iPhone and I have a set of keys. Let's pretend that I'm going to put them right here and I'm going to shuffle them up. I'm going to put them in a bag. Shuffle them up, and I've got a 50-50 chance of drawing one of these two items. How long is it going to take me? How many billions of tries would I have before I pull out a red apple out of that bag? You'd say it never would never happen.
Yeah.
And that's my point. No matter how much time you have, the impossible will never become possible. Impossibilities can never become possible within the realms of time. No matter how much time you give it, the impossible will never become possible. That's where they enter into fantasy land, is they think that, well, if you give it enough time, all these wild odds will eventually happen. But that's not true. Things deteriorate. Things don't get better over time. Evolution teaches that things get better. Creation shows that things get worse. And what we observe is that everything gets worse in the universe.
Yeah, I mean, no one's been able to demonstrate two cats making a dog. I mean, no one's been able to demonstrate any other two kinds making some other species. So, I mean, you know, all we have is two dogs produce a dog, and nothing else has been demonstrated. And so it's just crazy to me to even think that people believe that, you know, an organism produced human life and animal life, and then, yeah, just doesn't.
They don't even know how natural selection works. So natural selection selects genes that already exist in the gene code. So they say, well, new genes get created. We've never seen that. We've never observed that. We never will observe that, because only information can only come from a mind, from an external force. And so, you know, to say that a dog could turn into a cat, you know, I think these guys have just been watching too much of The Incredible Mr. Limpet. You know, I wish I were a fish. Well, according to them, they were fish billions of years ago.
Yeah.
And so they think that we started out as fish. You know, and I always love to ask these guys, do you think your ancient ancestor was a fish? And they'll sit there for a second, and they'll have the weird body language because they're not sure of what they believe, just like Darwin wasn't. And they'll say, well, it's what 97% say, so therefore it must be true because they've done the thinking for me. They've demonstrated that they don't think for themselves. That's what defines the internet atheist community. And that's why they're going to hate this video. And they can try to critique this video, but they'll fail every time because they're not actually critiquing us. They have to critique scientific theory, because all I'm stating is what scientific theory says. All what Paul is stating is what scientific theory says. All that they're stating is what opinions and traditions of men that were laid down through history by people like Darwin and Haeckel. That's all they have. And so,
yeah. And I love how Kent Hovind puts it, you know, why don't we see like a half fish, like the morphing of the fish? Cause the fish still exists. The monkeys are still there. We don't see like some half breed monkey. So it's like, you know, wouldn't we see that change?
Well, what's interesting is evolutionary theory. They have so many holes with the theory. They don't have any evidence for it. And so, like I said, they make believe. And a prime example of that is they realize that squids and octopuses have a different genetic build than any other creature in the world. And so scientists have come to the conclusion that they couldn't have evolved by any Darwinian means from any other sea creature. So here's how evolutionary theory actually states that they got here. They say, and I quote, in their book, a peer-reviewed paper by 33 scientists, the most well-established theory, that the squids are likely new extraterrestrial imports to Earth. So they believe that these squids and octopuses actually hitched a ride, the article says, on the back of asteroids and comets and crash-landed on Earth. That is what evolution teaches about how squids and octopi got here. Now, of course, they would never involve that in any textbooks because they have to use information control and not give all of the details about their side. It's just like any other cult in the world. Cults believe embarrassing things. Mormons believe embarrassing things. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe in very embarrassing things that they would never say publicly. Evolution is the same way. That is embarrassing that these 33 scientists claim that squids and octopuses are extraterrestrial beings because they couldn't have evolved. That's just crazy. It's a whole lot easier and it's a whole lot more honest to say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God created these creatures. But instead, they have to enter into fantasy land and just imagine, as I've always said, and as they say, a vain thing. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
Wow. All right, well, let's cue up the next one.
Yep.
Right, in Christianity, faith is a virtue. Right? It's a virtue. But here's the thing. Faith is actually a preaching that you do not have a reason for anybody to believe what you have to say.
So he says, faith, he literally said, faith is a is giving a reason, giving, I forgot what he said, something along the line. Let me replay that. Shoot, what did he say?
It's a virtue.
Faith is
but here's the thing. Faith is actually a preaching that you do not have a reason for anybody to believe what you have to say.
So it's he's basically saying faith is presenting unreasonable things that you have no evidence for. Well, if you look at the definition of the word faith, and Paul, you can pull it up. The definition of the word faith is a trust or confidence in someone or something. That's one of the many definitions of it. And so when people say, yeah, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So when these guys come along during these debates and they throw in their own definition, their made up definition, just like they make up a purpose for their life, they're just going to make up a definition for the word faith. They'll say, well, faith, you know, is without evidence. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what the atheist has, once again, is trying to, it's an equivocation fallacy, projecting their own faults onto the creationist and flinging their own poo onto us. And I would just like to say they have irrational faith. They trust science falsely so-called. We trust what we observe and what was given to us by God, which is the King James Bible. And these people often say, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this, Paul, your Jesus didn't exist. He's still in the grave, blah, 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 blah. Whenever they say Jesus didn't exist, what they're negating is the fact, and what they probably don't even know, is that 98% of scholars, including secular ones, believe that Jesus existed. So do these people believe in any sort of scholarship? If 98% of historians and scholars say, we believe firmly that there is strong evidence for the existence of Christ, and then these atheists come along and say, well, Jesus never existed. They're going against mainstream scholarship. And so they're going against what is accepted by the scholarship community. Now, I understand they accept what 97% of evolutionists say, but by that logic, they should be able to accept what 98% of historians say, which is that he actually existed. He was a real person. And so once again, the fallacy of false equivalence, another lie told by these people, exposed. And so
awesome, let's go on to the next one.
When you say faith is rational and evidence-based, I mean, if that were true, it wouldn't need to be faith, would it? I mean, if there were evidence for it, why would you need to call it faith? You'd say just evidence. And when you said that faith in relativity, in Einstein's theory of relativity is is evidence-based. That, of course, it is. But the evidence is all important. I mean, Einstein's predictions fit in with observed fact and with a whole body of theory. Whereas we only need to use the word faith when there isn't any evidence.
I presume you've got faith in your wife. Is there any evidence for that?
Yes, which plenty. You base it? Yes. Plenty of evidence.
That is so funny. So Richard Dawkins doesn't even know what the definition of faith is. You know, and if he's listening to this, because I know he's tweeted against me in the past, you know, Rich, I would just encourage you to pull out a dictionary, you know, dust it off your shelf there and look at the word faith. It's a confidence or trust in someone or something. And so, like Mr. Lennox said, he had faith in his wife and he has evidence for that. You know, I have evidence that I can trust or have faith in my wife, that she's not going to be disloyal or whatever. And so, you know, my advice to you and to the atheist community would be to, you know, and I understand that fantasy land for a lot of people is where they like to reside, you know, and they like to imagine up vain things. But I think that, you know, if you're going to be teaching college students and you're going to be teaching the world about scientific theory, maybe you should start with, you know, understanding the definitions of words. And so I'm not trying to be a jerk, Richard, but I'd really encourage you to look up the definition, the dictionary definition of faith, and not the one that you made up in your own mind. A complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That is what faith is.
Awesome.
Ready for the next one?
Yep.
Before the Big Bang, there was nothing, literally nothing. And then something happened, triggering the most colossal explosion in history. In a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, the universe grew from the size of that tiny point to something billions of miles across. This colossal blast created everything, all the matter we see in the universe today.
Just doesn't even make sense.
Because there's no sense to it. You know, it's so funny to me. It's like I said earlier, if I said nothing caused like something to detonate, you'd say I was crazy. This is National Geographic, by the way, folks. National Geographic is playing on people's televisions all across America. And they're hearing this nonsense and they're doing what Hitler said they would do, because Hitler said, if you tell a lie big enough, loud enough, and often enough, people will believe it. And he says, you got to make the lie big. That's a big lie. And people will believe it. That's indoctrination. So let's go ahead and do some unindoctrination. So National Geographic says that nothing caused an explosion. Well, if I said nothing caused something to explode, you would say I'm crazy. Not only do they believe that nothing caused an explosion, they believe that there was nothing at the beginning for that nothing to cause it to explode. So they think that nothing literally caused nothing, no matter or energy or time, to explode. So that's the bizarre part. So nothing times nothing. I mean, that's, you know, it's just so, so wild, you know, and that's why people like Stephen Hawking have said, well, we have no choice but to believe the universe came out of nothing. So because of gravity, the universe will create itself from nothing. That doesn't make any sense. And Stephen Hawking also stated that he was becoming more intuitive and speculative rather than relying on mathematical proofs. So when Stephen Hawking was approaching science, the man who claimed to be one of the most smart people in the world, when he was approaching science, he took a more speculative approach and a more intuitive approach rather than relying on mathematical proofs. So did this guy rely on proof? Is that science? Was this guy a scientist? Or was this guy what the Bible refers to as one of the people that believes in science falsely so-called? And so, you know, if you want more information on Mr. Hawking there, you can look up the quotes that I just gave, and they're on articles everywhere. Or you can watch the film Science Falsely So-Called. You can get it on Framing the World. But, wow, I mean, that's pretty bizarre to say that all the matter in the universe I mean, think about this. There's 326 million trillion gallons of water on Earth right now. Water can only be compressed past a certain point. It can hardly be compressed at all. So I always ask evolutionists, is it rational to believe that 326 million trillion gallons of water was condensed down to an infinitesimal amount of space smaller than a single proton? Is that logical or rational? Or is that something that you just imagined up for yourself?
Well, it makes you think.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things I've barely touched on so far on this channel is the Big Bang. An interesting topic that we've only really started to properly understand. But when Matt Powell Official had a go at debunking it, my patrons couldn't help themselves. There wasn't an explosion. The Big Bang is a really poor name for it, actually. We just know there was a rapid expansion of space itself. No explosion, no bang, just expansion.
Oh, how cute. It's so funny whenever you tell them, you know, you ask them, did an explosion out of chaos create life and order in nature and energy? And they'll say, well, they'll redefine it. They'll say, well, it wasn't really an explosion. It was just an expansion. Because expansion sounds a little bit more believable. But just to prove that it was an explosion, the Big Bang Theory states, and I quote once again, that all the matter in the universe, everything that we see around us, all the water, planets, space, galaxies, etc., was all condensed down to an infinitesimal amount of space smaller than a single proton. And notice this. It says in a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, it went from the size of that tiny point to something billions of miles across. That is an explosion, by definition. The definition of an explosion is a rapid expansion of material. That was the fastest expansion of material in all of history. To go from smaller than a single proton to in a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, billions of miles across. That's an explosion by the very definition. And so to say no explosion, no bang, just expansion, this Sci-Man Dan guy, we should call him Sci-Fi Man Dan. Because this stuff is based on sci-fi. This is not reality. You know, he's got hundreds of thousands of YouTube listeners. And, you know, this guy is just saying, well, let me assure you that the Big Bang Theory is the best theory that we have for the beginning of the universe. Sure, it has some flaws, but it's the best theory. Well, if something has flaws in it, do you really want to believe it? He literally admitted in his response to me that there's flaws in the Big Bang Theory. You know, I'd be happy to have a discussion even with Mr. Sci-Man Dan there, if he'd be up to the challenge. And, you know, he's more than welcome to quote and misquote the scientific sources that say that it was an explosion and put his expansion definition in there, but that's not what the sources say. And so to accuse me of lying like they all do, you know, and to make up this fake definition once again is dishonest. And, you know, when I was growing up on the playground as a little child, whenever another kid couldn't get their way, they would always call the other kid, liar, liar, liar. They do the same thing with me. When they can't get their way and expose me, quote unquote, for the liar that they think that I am, they will just call me liar. They'll just throw that out there. Matt Powell's a liar. Matt Powell's a liar. Well, I'm willing to confront these people face to face and demonstrate the truth. There's no information control. Everything is out in the open, and the viewer is able to make the decision for themselves. So that's all I've got to say about this guy. The Big Bang was an explosion and was supernatural by definition.
Yeah.
Not just an expansion. But
yeah, and I'm so glad that you got all these clips together for us, because I mean these really do show what they believe and how ridiculous it is.
We could just play the clip. You know, it's so funny, Paul. I'm with you. We could actually just play the clips and walk away from the show today and say, wow, that was crazy. but because we live in a generation of people that are not taught to think, they're taught how to think, so they don't know what to think and what is logical and rational, it's appropriate to make things like this out there. And I, you know what? I'm just, the reason I say that is because when you're indoctrinated enough, it can really affect you. It can limit your ability. My goal is to just open people's brains up a little bit. And sometimes with these atheists, it's like a jack in the box. You help them free think just a little bit, and they're like, "Rawr," you know, and they just want to be back in their little cage of evolutionary thinking. They don't want to think freely. And yet they'll hold up free thinker signs. It's like being in a jail cell and holding up a sign, I'm free," when you're really not. If I told my wife, "You can only cook with rice and beans. You're not allowed to free think outside of rice and beans," just as the theory of evolution is not allowed to be thought outside of, my wife would not go into the kitchen and say, "Oh, this is so great. I'm a free cooker. I can cook for myself, whatever I want." When atheists say they're free thinkers, they're lying to you. They're either lying willfully or they're just ignorant about what evolution actually teaches.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm hoping that we can get different people that are experts on this issue. I know we did have, what was his name?
Dr. Grady McMurtry.
Yeah, Dr. Grady McMurtry. I'd love to get him back on. I don't know if he can do Skype, but maybe we could get him on for a show. We could get Dr. Kent Hovind on. We could get some of these main people on, and you could just talk with them, because this topic is so huge and expansive that, you know, there's so many different shows we could do, and I really hope we can make a bunch of shows like this, just exposing what they believe. And so I really appreciate you putting these clips together. How many more do you have?
I've got like 4 minutes worth, but I think we could get through them pretty fast.
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll call it a night.
Sounds good.
Next, Matt Powell is going to lie to you about how monkeys traveled from Africa to South America.
Evolutionists also claim that monkeys, because monkeys had to have somehow gotten to South America from Africa. That's what evolutionary theory states, and they have a problem figuring out how. So their best conclusion that their best scientists have come up with is this idea that monkeys surfed across the ocean. Across the ocean to a land anew over in South America. Now, that has a lot of problems. There's tides out there. You know, they probably get blown off their surf. Who has ever seen a monkey surf? I don't even think they can.
Nobody says that monkeys surf from Africa to South America.
Intrepid monkeys, according to scientists, made an improbable sea voyage from Africa to South America on a raft. Man.
Right on.
Picture it on a raft 34 million years ago. Oh, they're saying that the only way they could have got there is climbing on a little raft. And
yeah.
Right.
Now, are they serious about this?
This is what evolution teaches, my friend.
Lady, you could see it in her face. She did not believe that.
She didn't believe what
no,
it
was. Yeah, so funny. You could see it in her face, like, that's not true.
It's just one of the many, like, there's literally thousands of theories that they would never put in textbooks. But if you accept evolution, folks, that's something that you have to believe as a part of evolutionary theory. Otherwise, evolution doesn't work. You see, because we would have had to evolve from those monkeys that surfed here on rafts 34 million years ago from Africa to South America. And so, you know, just to answer this guy that came out against me and said that I was lying, when there's news articles all over the place, apparently, maybe he didn't do his research, I don't know. But, you know, there's articles all over the place, and it's accepted by the scientific community that this would have had to taken place in order for evolution to be true. And so I always tell people, you can either believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, or if you're an atheist, you can believe that monkeys surf the ocean blue to find a land anew over in South America 34 million years ago on a raft. And so they'll say, well, you know, they could have made it by, you know, just hopping on this raft. Let's just go into fantasy land once again and debunk this using basic logic. I don't even need to use science. There's many scientific reasons. But let's just pretend for a minute within the realms of the fantasy here that these people are living in, that monkeys all got on a raft. Because there would have had to have been multiple monkeys or they wouldn't have survived. So you would have had to have a male and a female, maybe a family, that got on these surfs or rafts or whatever. And they wanted to make a voyage over to South America 34 million years ago. Well, there are currents. So if, and pretty much anybody knows this, the currents are going to take you either up to the north or down to the south. They're not going to take you out into the middle of the ocean. And so they would have had to go to the middle of the ocean all the way to South America. It's simply not possible. Just imagine, Paul. I mean, maybe they were fishermen. I don't know. I mean, they must have survived the storms. I mean, this is like, you know, this is like, you know, the Voyagers, man. They were ready to go.
Well, I didn't believe you, Matt. Honestly, when you just said that, because I never heard this before, I was like, no one believes this. No one in the right mind. So I Googled it. Look at this. NationalGeographic.com. Long ago, about 36 million years before today, a raft of monkeys found themselves adrift in the Atlantic. I mean, can you believe this? Keep looking. Smithsonian.
When monkeys surfed to South America. Look at that headline. That's literally what they believe.
National Geographic. I mean, that is what they believe. Look at the next one. Smithsonian Mag. How did monkeys come across America? 30 million years ago, monkeys rafted across the Atlantic. Smithsonian Mag, again. Monkeys sailed across the Atlantic. BBC. I mean, this is really what they believe? This is crazy. CNN.com, prehistoric monkeys rafted across the Atlantic. Are you kidding me, Matt?
No. And it's funny because when I was first hearing this stuff from a good friend of mine, Dr. Raw Matt, who's he's a great creation scientist. I highly recommend his stuff. I was interviewing him for my film, and we got on this topic, and he brought this up to me, and I thought he was joking. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. But sure enough, and this godless engineer guy who just responded to me that we just debunked here using science, you know, against his opinions there, you know, this guy, he tried to justify how they could have made it. He just says, well, a raft, you know, could have supported a family of monkeys. Well, so what? A current wouldn't have taken them to South America. You know, that's just basic logic. And so it's pretty bizarre stuff. I mean, this is the weekly world news right here, folks. So.
No, it's real. I can't believe it's actually real. And article after article, I just kept scrolling through. And
well, look at the squids and octopi too. I mean, the scientific community, the consensus is that they're extraterrestrial beings and that they crash landed on Earth. And just, and you know, it's funny because squids and octopuses, they don't even get along with each other to begin with. So somehow they found their way on the same rock so they could crash land on Earth and become mortal enemies with each other. Pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, you're gonna have to Google that one. They really believe that?
Yep, that's what they believe. Actually, I've got a video. You want to see it? Yeah, I think it's on the next one.
Yeah.
And that is...
I think it's... All right, well, actually, it's going to be... I'm going to bring it up. It's worth it.
Wow.
All right, so it's actually...
Squids. I gotta Google this myself. Squids... Yep. What'd you just say? Squids?
Squids and octopi evolution. Actually, it's this one right here. I'm gonna bring this back right here. All right. So here is where it starts.
The octopus certainly does look strange, with bugged out eyes, suction cup tentacles, and the ability to change color for camouflage. But a new paper in a peer-reviewed scientific journal posits that octopi aren't just strange, they're aliens, literally. That's according to 33 authors writing in the journal Progress in Biophysics and Molecular Biology.
All right, so the study concluded, if you look at the screen, it says that octopuses have alien genes and that they couldn't have come about by Darwinian means. And so, it seems that
come from? In answering that question, the authors take an out-of-this-world leap. They write, quote, "It is plausible, then, to suggest octopi seem to be borrowed from a far distant future in terms of terrestrial evolution, or more realistically, from the cosmos at large."
So that's literally what they believe, is that squids and octopi had to have found their way on the same rock somewhere in outer space and crash landed. They did a massive crash landing to Earth to visit us. And so you research this stuff and you just realize once again, you know, I've been told a lie about the theory, you know, a lie by the theory of evolution. And I didn't even know it was a model because they don't even cover this stuff in the main textbooks. But these are this is what you have to believe if you're an evolutionist, because it's part of the theory. It's kind of like if you took away part of the Bible, that would invalidate the Bible. That would make it not perfect. Same thing with evolution. Evolution is an atheist's Bible. You take away one part, it doesn't work. And evolutionists will all claim that if you find a dinosaur with a man in the same layer of strata, that it would falsify the theory of evolution and prove that there was a global flood. We have found that. It's known as, and it was in an area known as the Ashley Phosphate Beds, in the same 18-inch layer were dinosaur bones and human bones found together. Now, evolutionists still won't believe the truth, and they'll try to rationalize it away, but they have admitted that if they find these animals together in the same layer of strata, that it will falsify the theory of evolution and demonstrate that the geologic column is completely off. If it's off in one spot, it's off everywhere.
Yeah, and they don't put it in the textbooks because it's so ridiculous. I mean, most people would just laugh if you told them that.
Yep. Well, I was talking to Dr. Grady McMurtry about this, and he said, Matt, he said, we were out to lunch, and he said, if people actually knew what evolution taught, no one would believe it. Not one person would believe it.
Well, that's why that guy said to you that raft thing, that they don't believe that, because it's ridiculous that anyone would teach that. And so he probably never heard of it because it's so ridiculous.
Right. It gets worse, man. I mean, there's even crazier things that we could jump into, but...
Well, we got to save something for the next show, man.
I guess we'll just have to keep it off the next show.
Yeah, we got to get you. If we just let it all out this show, and then I can't get you back, man.
Right. Well, there's unlimited stuff, Paul. We could do like a billion shows. We could be here a few billion years. But all right, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
And that is the thing that led me to atheism when I was a child. That is the thing that led me to first question the whole story and existence of a God creature. And that is the motherfucking dinosaurs. But dinosaurs, and I've always said this, you can go way back in my video diary, in my video upload list, and you can see my dinosaurs videos where I always said dinosaurs are the number one argument against theism. Dinosaurs is the proof that there is no God. And I've always said that. And they existed on this planet and dominated this planet for hundreds of millions of years. Dinosaurs and men did not exist at the same time. So there was no creation.
So because dinosaurs exist, there is no God. That was the reason that this man, the raging atheist, who I've debated a couple times and I'd be happy to do it once again, that's the reason why he doesn't believe in God, is because of dinosaurs. Let that sink in for a minute. You know, they say dinosaurs died off 65 million years ago, and so he was taught this, and that's what destroyed his faith in God. I can think of a lot of better reasons that you could lose your faith, but apparently dinosaurs were what did it for this guy. So let's talk a little bit about this. So they say dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Well, recently in 1990, they discovered dinosaur bones, a dinosaur fossil with blood inside of it, still contained, with the hemoglobin still in the blood. So the blood was active still. Now, you ask an evolutionist, could blood survive for millions and millions, 65 million years? Absolutely not. It would have deteriorated. Now they'll say, now here's how the evolutionists will make a comeback, quote unquote. They'll say, well, under certain conditions, it could survive. Well, recently in a peer-reviewed journal, the paper said, and it's from a secular scientist, that no matter what conditions you have, blood will not last that long. It doesn't matter the conditions. It doesn't matter if it's in completely airtight space or what. Blood will not last that long. The maximum it could last is about 10,000 years. So that shows that that dinosaur would have had to have died a few thousand years ago. So the theory of evolution, once again, falsified. Creationism vindicated right here on this show, ladies and gentlemen. And it just could never be more clear. In 2005, the same scientists went out and found dinosaur flesh with blood. You could literally squeeze the blood right out of the flesh. So do you think that blood and that dinosaur flesh could last for 65 million years? How about the fact that grass came into being 55 million years ago, but dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. So they say dinosaurs never saw grass. Well, they just discovered that, you know, they looked at dinosaur feces to see what dinosaurs ate, and guess what the dinosaur ate? Grass. Yet grass came into being 10 million years after dinosaurs became extinct. It doesn't make any sense, because there's no sense to it. And the theory of evolution, once again, I want to make this very clear. It's impossible to defend honestly. You must make believe. You must enter into fantasy land. You must lie. You must use unsupported assertions. And you can make blanket statements all day long about how you think the virgin birth is crazy, or how, you know, you don't know how a Jewish man could have resurrected from the dead like Jesus. But every time, the creationist will counter those arguments. You have nothing if you're an evolutionist, and you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and be saved. You need to look to the man that spoke in absolutes, not somebody like Darwin, who said that he was scared he was living in fantasy land.
Wow.
But anyways, moving on. So that's why raging atheist doesn't believe in God, is because of dinosaurs.
Because it's an absolute statement, and I don't believe in absolute statements.
Okay, let's pause there for a second. Are you absolutely sure that you don't believe in absolute statements?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, there's no certainties. I said that at the beginning.
Mark, are you certain of that, though?
It's absolutely. Absolutely, there's no certainties.
So this guy is certain that there is no certainties, and he's absolutely sure that he doesn't believe in absolute statements. That doesn't even need a...
there's nothing you need to say to that.
Nothing more.
There's virtually nothing that we can be certain about.
There's virtually nothing that we can be certain about.
It's so funny. This guy, Matt Dillahunty, he's basically one of the main leaders of the atheistic movement in 2020. Now, he's been around for a long time, and he's done a lot of debates, tons of debates with creationists. And he said in this debate, there's virtually nothing that you can be certain about. Are you certain of that, Mr. Dillahunty? Are you certain that there's no certainties? Are you absolutely sure that there's no absolutes, like your worldview is saying? If you're certain that there's no certainties, why are you certain all of a sudden that God doesn't exist if you're not certain of anything? Seems that the only thing that you are certain of is that you're certain that God does not exist. But everything else is uncertain. That is certain with you. And so this guy, apparently, once again, he doesn't believe in logic, doesn't believe in science. He's just spouting off regurgitated arguments that he's making that other atheists have made before him. The forefathers of the First Church of Atheism, which is an actual church, folks. Atheist churches are popping up all over the place now. And so, you know, really let that sink in when people like this say statements like that.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I get people that really, or that claim they don't believe in evolution.
And I just want to say real quick, like, you know, in case you're thinking that we're picking easy targets, a lot of times people say, you just pick the easy targets. If you haven't noticed, everyone in this stream so far has been bigger name people, pretty much. They've been people with degrees. We've got Bill Nye, the science fiction guy here. I mean, Bill Nye, the science guy. And we've got all sorts of different, very popular atheistic leaders that we're debunking. So I'm just letting you know now, we are going for the big dogs.
And my response generally is, why not? Really, why not? Your world just becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolution.
Okay, so your worldview becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolutionary theory. Would you please explain to me then, like, how believing that you came from an ape makes your world less complicated? Explain to me how thinking that you came from an explosion makes your world less complicated. Explain to me how thinking that you're pond scum to human evolution, believing in that, is going to make your worldview less complicated. In fact, it makes things more complicated. That's why 97% of school shootings are done by atheists. Their worldview, Bill, is complicated because of what you teach and because of what you've said to people and the indoctrination that you've given them, and using their taxpayer money to support your religion to be taught to them, the religion of death. Evolution teaches that death brought man into the world, but creation teaches that man brought death into the world. Everything with evolution is contrary to the Bible, and it's contrary to science as well, because the Bible and science are hand in hand. And a lot of atheists will say, well, you believe that the word of God is the word of God because the Bible says it's the word of God. So you got a circular argument. Look, I don't care what shape the argument is. The Bible has power. Never a man spake like this man. And a lot of times they'll say, well, that's not good enough. You know, you can't just say it's a circular, you don't care what shape the argument is. It's still a circular argument. Well, look, if truth is a real thing, which it is, they'll say, well, there is no truth. Is that true? Because if it's true that there's no truth, how can the statement be true that there is no truth? You know, and like these guys that have said, well, I can't be sure of anything. Well, they seem pretty sure that they're not sure of anything else. That's for sure. And so, you know, if the Bible's authority was dependent upon my reasoning to give it authority, then my reasoning would be the final authority. But if the Bible is true, which it is, it has to be its own authority. You shouldn't accept the Bible just because I can make it sound legitimate. You should accept the Bible because you know it to be true. Not based off my words, but based off the power contained therein in the words of Christ. Never a man spake like this man. Jesus said, my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So Bill, you know, you're saying like it's so complicated. You know, your worldview becomes so complicated if you don't believe in evolution. Look, your worldview becomes complicated when you don't believe in creation. That's why atheists and evolutionists, they lead the world in suicide, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and school shootings. 97% of school shootings are done by atheists. And so that's what happens. It complicates their worldview to the point of suicide, alcohol, drug abuse, and school shootings. So the evidence is on our side, not yours. The fiction is on your side. The facts are on our side as creationists.
I mean, if you have nowhere to look forward to going after you die, I mean, you can see how that can create a lot of problems.
Right. Yeah. And that's honest. You're being honest when you say that. If there is no purpose to life, there's no purpose to life. Let's not pretend that there is.
Yeah.
And they will pretend. They'll say, let's pretend that there is. Look, if I just wanted to pretend that I'm a fighter pilot, I can pretend all day, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm not.
Yeah.
And so they can pretend all day that they have meaning, but at the end of the day, they know that they're lying. It would be a lie if I said, like, hey, I'm a fighter pilot and pretended. It's a lie for them to say, and it's dishonest to pretend there's meaning to life when they really don't think there is. They make it their purpose to tell everybody that there is no purpose to life.
Yep.
Almost done.
Compelled unbeliever here. Today, I'm here to talk about my adventures with the young preacher, Matt Powell. As I started to watch his videos, I noticed that he was making arguments, actually putting the words into atheists' mouth, of arguments that atheists just don't make. And frankly, that pissed me off.
That is funny. You know, I guess, a lot, and that's what they always accuse me of, right? So they say, well, you're making arguments that atheists don't make. Well, just for your information, and that was the last video we had on here, you know, for your information, Mr. Compelled Unbeliever, you know, we went through this whole stream here and dealt with arguments that atheists actually make. And so I would encourage you to watch the stream. And the interesting part of your worldview is you call yourself a compelled unbeliever. What if I what if you said, Matt, what do you like to do? Tell me about yourself. I'm not going to say I'm an unbeliever in something. I'm an unbeliever in fishing. I'm an unbeliever in flying planes. I'm not going to define my life by what I don't like. Atheists like you and like everybody else define yourselves by what you don't like and what you don't believe in. That doesn't make any sense. And just the fact that you would spend time to make a response to me and say all of these wild things that you've said, just the fact that you do that shows that you have, that you think that God is legitimate enough to come up against. Now, I'm not God, but what I'm saying is the concept of the Lord. Would you argue like this about Santa Claus? Atheists often claim, well, believing in Jesus is like believing in Santa Claus. Well, why are there books being written every day against the existence of Jesus? Why don't they write books against the existence of Santa Claus? Would you do a 3-hour debate with me on the existence of Santa Claus? You wouldn't do it. You know what it tells me is that the debate of God and evolution and creation is legitimate enough for you to take your time to deal with. That's very telling of where your belief system really is. And so, you know, atheists can cry out for evidence all day long, and we'll give them evidence. But the Bible says, for this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So if you're an atheist and you're listening to this show, you're without excuse. So that's all I've got for this episode as far as what we had rehearsed. Or we didn't really rehearse anything. We just did it all on the fly, but in this video here that we played. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Paul, I think it was a great time, great discussion.
Yeah, and, you know, God obviously cares about this topic because, I mean, the first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God wanted us to know that he created the earth. He wanted us to know that he's the one that gave life. He's the one that can take it away. And there is a purpose for life. And so I'm really glad that you decided to do the show. I love it, man. Answers in Creation. I love the logo. I love the name that you came up with, Matt. It's a great name, Answers in Creation, because there are a lot of answers in creation. And I thank you guys for tuning into this program. We're going to do another one here. I'm going to try to get Matt locked down for another show. We'll try to do it again. Every show is going to be a little different. We're just trying to work all the little kinks out. But I appreciate him. I appreciate all of our Patreon supporters. And I really appreciate everyone who donated to this show. Again, guys, if you want to support the show, you can go to framingtheworld.com and donate to the program. You can also subscribe to our Patreon account and help us out there. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming here today. And again, guys, Answers in Creation. Stay tuned next week or whenever we do this next. I appreciate it. God bless, guys.